Hello and welcome to The Intersection. We're the podcast where marketing, sales, operations, and technology stop working in silos and start driving real growth for building materials brands. I'm Megan Kavinsky, CEO of Point to Point. We're a sales and marketing agency helping mid-market building materials manufacturers build the marketing engine and sales culture they've never had and always wanted. Each episode, I'm joined by Steve Coffey, Senior Managing Partner of Coffey & Co., a growth and strategy firm focused in building materials, and Deneen Harper, founder of DHX Consulting and a fractional CMO for, you guessed it, building materials brands. We're here to close the gaps between marketing and sales, strategy and operations, technology and execution, because in those gaps, you bleed margin. And we're going to show you how to stop it. No fluff, just what works. Hello, and welcome to The Intersection. I'm Megan Kavinsky, CEO of Point to Point, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Deneen Harper, founder and FCMO of DHX Consulting. But it's really exciting because today we have two fabulous guests on our show. So we have Mike Keller. He is the VP of Business Development at Calwall. And we have Jake Erickson. He is the VP of Sales and Marketing at QuickWall. And they are here to talk about best-in-class dealer meetings. And actually, the premise of this all is stop calling it a meeting, the dealer event that changes how they sell for you. So Jake, Mike, welcome. Thrilled to have you guys here with us today.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I thought that Mike and Jake would make great, you know, and the content overall would be great because I've had the pleasure of being able to see and experience and talk to Jake and Mike about their recent dealer slash sales meetings, summits, you know, and so much has gone into these events and into the moment and into the culture that goes along with it, that they were both very successful. My LinkedIn feed is actually flooded with content from all of their sales partners who are so excited about the information and the camaraderie and all the things that were built there. So, and this is a tricky thing. You know, we're here at the intersection. We're about the intersection of sales and marketing and technology and operations. And that's what a great event is. You're bringing together your sales team. You're getting great content and marketing materials in front of them. And in this case, we're showing them the factory floor. We're talking about new product development. It really is about all those things coming together. And you have to be operating on all cylinders because you got one shot. You got a lot of eyeballs. You got a lot of money put into this. You got to get it right. And both of you did. You got it right. So I'm going to shut up and let you guys get a little bit more background on who you are and then a little bit about the event that you just threw.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. I'm Jake Erickson. I'm the VP of Sales and Marketing at QuickWall, as Megan said. And I've been here, it'll be 8 years here in August. It goes fast, but started as National Sales Manager and then moved into VP of Sales and Marketing. And it's been an exciting time to be at QuickWall. We've had a lot happen in the last almost 8 years and, you know, kind of culminating with this distributor meeting, honestly, that we just had. Not meeting, as you said. I like how Mike's going to tell you what they call theirs. I really like the name of his. We had everybody come together. We had 100 distributors come to our new facility. So this one was easy in a way because we have a brand new facility. So we had a lot to show with the facility alone. I mean, we moved into a 240,000 square foot facility, consolidating all of our different plants into one plant, which we had a lot to show there. We have a ton of new products either almost coming out and several that we released at the meeting. And Mike will say similar things here, but timing is very important for these meetings, right? So we intentionally did this to where we had things rolling out and new products and processes to show and not just talk about. The facility alone, all the new products, all the new processes we're able to show was a huge highlight for us. And as you mentioned, we spent a lot of time and we start planning for it even 6 to 8 months ahead of time, like logistically what we're going to do and the activities around it. And then as we get closer, you kind of plan the actual agenda for what you're going to go over. And we spent a lot of time with the leadership team and all of our areas determining what are the key topics we need to get out of these few days that we have the distributors here. And as you said, it's really, I mean, getting people to travel all this way to come to your meeting, coming from all over the place is very important. And it's that opportunity to get them in front of you for X amount of time where they're kind of all eyes on you. What are you going to show them? What have you been doing? Great at hearing about things, but seeing them and actually going through them in person mm-hmm. is very important. So all of that combined, and then the activities in the evenings are really fun to kind of get to know the distributors more personally and your internal team, get to know them more personally, spend time together, appreciate what they've done for you, and then talk about the future. It's kind of a all-in-one thing. They get to network with each other, which is really nice too. Distributors from all different markets and all different opportunities come together and kind of talk about their experiences too. So that's a brief recap of ours, and I'll turn it to you, Mike, to talk about yours.
Jake, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, so I can see why Megan sort of paired us up for this episode. So some of what I'm going to say is going to sound a little redundant because Jake's was very similar, right? So again, I'm Mike Keller with Calwall. I am the VP of Business Development. I've been in sales for Calwall for about 10-12 years. Calwall is a family business, though, I'm part of the family, so I've been part of Calwall for many decades, more than I care to count sometimes because I'm getting up there. Anyway, always, it's been a great ride and still many, many years to come. So on that note, we had a small change in leadership over the past few years. And as a result, it really became time to sort of shift the tone of the meeting, of our distributor. We used to call it distributor meeting. It used to be separate from the direct meeting. And most of the internal people were invited here and there, but for the most part, it wasn't really a culmination of all of our efforts. So when I was put in charge of the meeting about a year ago, as Jake pointed out, boy, you got to start planning these really early because there's a lot of parts and pieces to figure out, especially when you're completely revamping the meeting. You're not just taking last year's script, you know, and rewriting it. Yeah, it's a huge amount of effort, which if you do it right, will culminate in a great assembly. So anyway, so I decided this year going to be at our factory, and we switched back and forth between an offsite and factory. And so it really became incumbent upon me and the team to really kick it up a notch, right? Because it is in New Hampshire. It is in Manchester. Not quite as exciting for some people as maybe Phoenix or Vegas, right? So how do you really ramp it up and make people want to fly out on their own dime, you know, and their own time to come see you? So we combined it all this year. Instead of a distributor meeting, we called it a summit. And so it was distributor partners. It was our direct team, about 15 individuals that worked directly for the company in the Northeast for the sales effort. And then we invited, you know, a lot of the internal people to also join us for whatever they wanted to, the dinners, some of the sessions, some of them they gave the sessions, you know, so it was really an interactive and no longer a distributor meeting. It was more of a summit, right? Everyone's included to help celebrate our, you know, our collective wins over the past. We do it every year and a half. And that went over really well. We had a lot of interaction between direct and distributors that we haven't had ever. But frankly, there were a couple. One kind of quick, funny meeting was one of the direct guys ran up to one of the distributors, gave her a huge hug. And she said, "This is nice, but who are you?" And he said, "Oh, this is so-and-so." And she goes, "Oh, my God, we've been talking for years. I thought you'd be taller." Which was kind of funny because they're a lively bunch. Anyway, it really was a great meeting, and I cannot overemphasize what Jake said about starting early and making sure that everyone's on board the whole process and is enthusiastic to make it the best meeting you can.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys brought up the timing, because that is something where if you're trying to do a dealer meeting still this year, and we're recording this in May of 2026. Like you need to be doing it now if you're going to get it in before the end of the year, or this could be great content for you to think about what you might want to do differently in 2027. I also like, Mike, how you're bringing up that you have multiple different types of sales force, which you don't see all the time in building products, but you have both a direct rep model and you have a distribution model. And instead of keeping them separate, it's all one Calwall, right? You know, and you guys did a really nice job embedding them. And it was really interesting, especially when we got to some of the sales awards, for people to see, you know, what one direct person can do compared to an entire team at a distributor too. So it was interesting. So in talking to Mike and Jake, Deneen and I really thought about what are the parallels and what we're hearing from them. So we have really narrowed it down to like five pillars that we're going to talk through. So one, it has a reason to exist and everything serves it. Two, it celebrates the full sales ecosystem, which we've already been talking about. Three, it creates access they can't get anywhere else. And you heard about the factory, but it's also about the leadership team. Four, it's designed for follow through because this dealer summit, whatever you will call it, is a moment in time and it can create such positive energy and so much enthusiasm. But how are you harnessing that and moving forward with it? And five, and this is really important, that it signals that you're betting on yourself, right? So let's get started with the it has a reason to exist and everything serves it. So we'll start with Mike this time. What was the strategic anchor for your event? The thing that made this meeting have to happen right now? And how did you make sure everything else on the agenda connected back to it?
Yeah, great question. So, and actually very appropriate, because the meeting normally would have been in the fall, right? That was the normal cycle, you know, the fall of 25. But we had some challenges to overcome. We had some modifications to the factory. We had a new product we were rolling out, like a really large, brand new product we're rolling out. And everything was 80% there. Mm. And we thought, like, boy, getting everyone into town and telling them that we're 80% there and stay tuned and here's a sketch and close your eyes and imagine what it's going to look like was just inappropriate, right? So instead, we did a regional tour. We went out to them and just said, hey, we're not ignoring you. We very much want to connect with you. So we went out to them to Chicago, and Vegas. And that was much appreciated. We got a lot of notes about what we were doing right and wrong. And so we took all those notes and we incorporated them into the meeting that we just had 2 weeks ago. That one of the sessions was follow-up, right, to all those items. Here's all the things you asked for, and even the things we don't want to do, you know, we brought those up. And so it was the good, bad, and the ugly, if you want to say. And so to answer your question, Megan, the purpose of the timing for the meeting was perfect. We had just wrapped up a lot of factory upgrades. The new product was ready to go. And we had all the pieces in place to ensure that every session in our meeting reflected, again, our pride and enthusiasm for the new direction that the company is heading. So
yeah, that's the best kind of timing.
Right, exactly. And it showed, you know, everybody was on all cylinders. There was don't look behind the curtain. It was full transparency. Well, we like to say full translucency because that's where our product is translucent. but you get the idea. Everyone was involved. We had, all the way from, estimating to closing to shipping. Everyone had a role to play, and again, the things we're all excited to. So it wasn't just me telling them, hey, we're excited. It was the people actually doing the work and involved in the day-to-day that gave a lot of the presentations, the factory tours, that so, everyone could see the enthusiasm and pride.
Yeah. And I'm smiling as you're talking because it's interesting, but also because it's so similar to what QuickWall has done and the reasons why they had their event too. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and talking to both of you too, it was like, I felt like this was content that others in building products would want to hear about because how eerily like similar yours are, there have to be so many other organizations that are at similar stages and similar inflection points, but maybe not quite sure what to do with it the way that you guys were able to put it all together. So Jake, tell your same, but different story here now. Yeah.
Yeah. You're really similar is exactly right. We had the same thought process on the timing. I mean, fall of last year would have made a lot of sense historically. It was a typical gap we would do between meetings, but we knew we weren't quite ready and we made the decision to do it in the spring. And I'm really glad we did for the same reasons Mike said. I mean, our why, the why was always going to be the facility once we knew we were moving there. But there's many other whys too. There's these products that can be supported in this facility that we needed to be able to show we were going to deliver on and not, like Mike said, be 80% complete and talk about being done, but show. So we were able to show the new facility. We were able to show the new 52 SCC product with an actual wall being used on our Unispan system in the break room. Like what a good example of in the field, actually show it, not talk about it being done. Same with the new product, other new products we're going to roll out. We had actual panels completed and hanging to show them. And then of course, there's some things that we've been transparent on, we're going to take longer, like the HuffCore product and some other things that we're eventually rolling out that I think many are aware of, but to see the equipment in place in the factory puts it in perspective that we've made the investment. Clearly we're doing this. We're not just talking about it, right? So for all those reasons, and then our manufacturing moved between January and March was a long phase move from all of our facilities that we successfully pulled off without having our lead time jump to 20 plus weeks was a really big deal for us. So to do that, and then in April, be able to show distributors, look at what we can do in this new facility. This is why we've made the investment. This is why we're here, was the why for us. And I think if we would have tried to rush that and show some completion, but not be really complete on many of the things, it would have not been near as successful as it was. So those were the keys for us. And very similar to Mike's situation, it's telling a new story, staying true to who we are, but showing what we're capable of now versus maybe 3 to 5 years ago, we just weren't. So it's exciting from that standpoint.
Yeah, you're both trying to get your customers, your distributors, and then also the audiences that they serve to think about you differently, right? Both Calwall and Quickwall have legacy and history, which is great, but it also has some association that maybe you're working to overcome, you know, for what you don't get to be, you know, 70 years or, you know, X number of decades without having some baggage or some things that worked for you before that aren't working now. And you need to like reintroduce or help refresh the market's understanding of what you're all about. And one of the questions that we have as a follow-up to this, and I'm going to guess that you're both going to answer, it was the factory tour, but where was it when you felt like people, like that momentum shift, you know, like that, the goal of what you were trying to accomplish was becoming real and you could sort of see it crystallized in the energy from the audience that you guys were in front of?
From Quickwall's standpoint, actually, I mean, the factory tour we knew was going to be a huge deal and them seeing all that was going to be successful. Where I actually saw the most momentum from our standpoint was in the afternoon when we did these breakout sessions and we showed the HuffCore product, we showed the 52 SCC wall, we showed the glass. We actually divided the groups up into smaller groups where they could ask more detailed questions in a group and then rotate, led by, you know, the person responsible for that area. And doing that, I just saw like the light bulb go off on, wow, I can really go sell this product. I see it. I believe in it. I've seen the factory this morning. Now I see the product and what it does for us against competition. And that was really like a light bulb. And then to kind of end the day, we kind of wrapped it up and Scott Stetter did a great job of really putting some passion into it about what we think we can do and where we can go from here. And it kind of tied everything together of what we tried to speak to all day about the investments we've made and the investments, why we're making those investments. So for me, it was that in the afternoon. But obviously the factory tour was a huge part of that leading up to what happened in the afternoon.
Well, I'm glad that I was wrong. That made for better content. I mean, for a more interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was.
That seeing, touching, feeling always makes a bigger impact.
Yep.
Jake, I think
what,
we were
Mike,
the same
what were
meeting.
You going to say?
We're in the same meeting. I know. It sounds like
the same meeting, Megan. We really, I think we're, yeah. Yes, I was going to answer the exact, pretty much the same way Jake did. We had about 80 plus or minus people go through the factory tour and in two different facilities. So we broke it out into four groups of 10 at one factory and then four group in the other, and then they swapped. So, and we kept every session tight. You know, sometimes we would go to see a new piece of machinery. This is years past. And it would be an hour, you know, people sitting and going on and on about the machine and what it did. And it was interesting, but you know, oftentimes our meeting is attended by estimators, owners, installers. You know, you don't really know what we do, what we don't, you know what I mean, of what they're interested in seeing, right? So we decided this time to have far more stations, you know, places they went, but have them be quicker. And that works really well. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question about the magic, boy, you know, usually in between stations when they walk from, you know, one to the other, in the years past, it was a whole lot of, you know, you could hear them talking about everything except for what they just saw, right? Because it's just, they didn't see that much, or it was, you know, whatever. But this time, a huge amount of engagement along the way. In fact, sometimes we had to tell them to, you know, quiet down. We got a new station we got to get to, because they had so much to say about what they just saw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we knew we'd done a great job and hit the mark. Yeah.
That's great. Well, I'm going to move on to pillar number two, because you guys nailed that one in spades. So the second pillar is that it celebrates the full sales ecosystem. And this is a lot about the recognition, the rewards, the celebration. And an easy answer to this is about the awards, which I do want you to talk about, where you recognize the top performers. But how did you keep that going throughout the event, too? How did you help make everyone, even if they weren't an award winner, feel like a hero or get, you know, keep that recognition and momentum going?
Yeah, the award, we did the awards, you know, the kickoff dinner and award ceremony Monday night when everybody got to town, as kind of the kickoff in the awards. And that obviously, as you said, is really, really good for a lot of reasons. But then to keep it going through the meeting, I think, you know, having all of our regional sales managers there, all of our staff, we had so many people there that a lot of that happens too organically through some of the side conversations or at the evening events, where you get to talk to select distributors that you don't see as much, or that maybe are a middle tier distributor in a smaller market, but have done a great job. And we're able to kind of call them out through different ways of doing that. We came up with some new awards like Newcomer of the Year and Glass specific awards, so that we weren't just giving the same people awards that are sometimes in major markets, that it's a little bit easier to sell larger volume. So we mixed up how we did that, which I think was successful. And then throughout the meeting, we even used examples of, hey, these distributors have been really good at focusing on glass. And we even put them on a slide and kind of showed who they were. Hey, if you want some input offline, maybe talk to these distributors, because we've seen a lot of focus with architects and general contractors in their markets on this product specifically. So we did different things like that. And a lot of it's just the side conversations too, and showing how much we appreciate them coming. I think a distributor taking the time to do that, as you alluded to, Mike, flying, we're in central Illinois. It's not easy to get to Clinton, Illinois, I promise, or Bloomington, Illinois, or Springfield, Illinois. So them taking the time to do that and come spend the time with us really meant a lot to us. And we just reiterated that throughout the meeting in different ways.
Getting to New Hampshire isn't exactly super easy either, but
right.
But fortunately, we've had the meeting in the past in December, and boy, flying into out of New Hampshire in December could be have its own set of challenges. But anyway, so to answer your question, Megan, our awards dinner is the end. It's a very final event, but we kick it off the event with introductions. Well, we have a welcome dinner the night before, and that's always fun. Most of the time, they're just sort of connecting, but mm-hmm. we invite our entire internal support. You know, drafting. Estimating, contracts administration, they're all there for the kickoff dinner on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday morning, most of them come for introductions. And believe it or not, that's actually kind of fun, right? So the whole room goes around, stands up, says who they are, how long they've been with us. Usually they say something kind of witty, you know, and it gets kind of entertaining. And that's a really nice opportunity, especially for the people at our company that have been there for a very long time. You know, 40 plus years for some of them, to really kind of get recognized, because usually there's a round of applause if you're, you know, over 40 years of tenure. And so that's kind of nice. And then they get to sort of meet, at least across the room, people that they've been working with perhaps over the year that they maybe didn't know. You know, this person stands up and says, oh, that's so and so. So then throughout the meeting, and they're invited to everything, they can, you know, interact. Like Jake said, it's really great to have those interactions with the internal team, with the outside sales force. And then at the awards dinner, very similar to Jake, we had some new awards that we haven't had in the past, because we heard some, you know, feedback that it was sort of the same guys and gals on the stage every year and a half, in every cycle. And so we had a most growth. You know, somebody could have been very small and it's happened to have a good year, and that's good growth. So it's a percentage. It wasn't a dollar amount. And then we had, for the first time ever, we had an award that we call the Daylighting Award, because we're a daylighting company. And it was a sort of a glass star, you know, cool. And with her name on it. And it was to recognize somebody on the inside, you know, at the factory that warranted some special mm-hmm. recognition. So we had all the regional managers survey their distributors or their direct, submit several votes, and I tallied the votes up, and it was unanimous, and it was very well received. It was the very, very end of the awards night. So it was after, you know, Distributor of the Year. It was after Project of the Year. And it really did shine a light on the fact that our internal team, our factory team, our support crew really is integral to the success for all of us.
Yeah.
That was really smart, Mike, the placement of where you put the team members.
Yeah.
And everyone knows her and loves her, so it got a big rousing applause. What a nice way to end the meeting anyway, right? The awards. Well, it was the end of the awards night and the whole meeting. So it really capped it off very nicely.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Jake started, the QuickWall One started with the awards. You ended with the awards. I guess maybe there's no bad time to do awards, you know. And then you both got more creative with, mm-hmm. you know, specific behaviors that you're looking to reinforce, right? You know, so mm-hmm. even like the Growth Award or the Glass Award, you know, and even the Daylighting Award, Mike, is like recognizing that everybody's on the sales team, every role is important, you know, how you show yep. up and the, you know, the helpfulness that you're able to provide is a huge part of the success that we're able to have in the market just overall, you know, mm-hmm. so I thought those were really great creative ways to be able to recognize the team members and, or, you know, the sales force in unique and different ways. So I'm going to do, this has been great. And I've honestly, even though I knew what we were going to talk about, and I've talked about it before, I've learned a ton. So yeah. I want to pause here and tell our listeners that, hey, if you are finding value in this content or you're thinking about doing your own sales meeting soon and you want to share this with a colleague, now is a great time to forward this particular episode to them, and also to make sure that you hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on future episodes of The Intersection. So our third pillar is about creating access. And you guys have alluded to this, and you certainly have talked about it in spades about the factories themselves, but it's about the access to the factory and how the product is made, but it's also about access to your leadership team. And maybe that's something that we could talk a little bit more about more directly, is about, you know, who all is involved. And I know, you know, Mike, you've mentioned even about some of the support team giving some of the presentations during the meeting itself. But talk to us about that access outside the factory or with, you know, your CEO or your estimators and what that looked like and how that fit in.
The CEO and CFO and pretty much everyone in all levels of leadership were there for the entire meeting. In fact, some of them even led sessions. Some of them gave sessions. Some of them just were involved with them. One of them was a group leader that, you know, toured people around. So nobody was a king for the day, right? It was all, you know, full involvement at all levels. In other words, if you were from the outside, you couldn't tell who the CEO even was, right? He was dressed the same and acted the same and ran around with the rest of us just the same. So that was very important to him and to us, and that everyone was there and could have, and you saw open many, many times at the receptions and the dinners, that he'd get cornered by someone who was either overly happy with what we were doing or sometimes not so happy, you know, and really appreciated the access and being able to speak directly, you know, not through an RM or through myself. So that really was a change in the typical meeting where, you know, upper leadership was typically not involved. So that level of involvement from all the way to, you know, the guys sweeping the floor was there for one of the presentations as well. You know, so we really had full involvement, all hands on deck. And that was on purpose, right, to show that, you know, it's not just the top leadership showing you a shiny penny over here. Don't pay attention. You know, we went in every corner and showed how proud we are of the changes and updates, and allowed the people that have, again, done that work to present it rather than, you know, take the credit for it.
Yeah, very similar on our end. It's great to hear that, Mike. Our whole leadership team was heavily involved. I was just thinking about everybody presented in one way or another at the meeting from the leadership team, including our CEO and owner gave the state of QuickWall kind of presentation to start the meeting, just to kind of walk through everything of where we are, how we got here, investment. Again, you alluded to it earlier, Mike, but it's a group from owners of these distributorships all the way down to maybe an estimator that's new that came along with the group to find out more about QuickWall. So you have to kind of think of, have that hat on a little bit, understanding that a lot of this group is more tenured, experienced people with our company, but some aren't. So laying a little bit of a foundation is still good and refreshes people's memories on that. So our whole team is involved. And then to your point, all the way down to, I mean, interactions in the plant, we encourage that during the plant tour. Like, ask questions to the person who's doing the pass doors. Yeah. Ask questions to the track department. Like, that's why we're on this tour, too, is to get those interactions going. And then the breakout sessions I alluded to, like, the engineers who are working on the HuffCore product actually got to present what they're doing. And I think that's validating and really refreshing for the distributors to see and talk to the people who are actually doing it. It's not just some one person going through everything, and this whole meeting is a high level overview. It's pretty detailed, and that was the point of those sessions. Same with the glass. Like, our glass team presented the glass showroom and what the new products are and what the differences are. And so those levels of interaction are very important, and that's why we structure it very similar to how you do, Mike, with leadership team and really everyone being involved.
How do you think your employees reacted to you involving them so much? Did you see an increase in morale or anything like that?
Yeah, I can take that first, Mike. Yeah, I mean, we really invite employees and even significant others to the evening events. So again, just that level of interaction and feeling like it's a family. That's one of our core values and something we focus on. And I think that really speaks to it instead of just saying it. So yeah, I think the morale is high. And when everyone feels involved, it doesn't feel like there's this high level summit of people coming in that's scary. It's more of a, let's show why we do what we do. Let's show why we're making the investments, and let's be a family and a team with our distributors. So getting to know them on the personal level and everybody being involved, I think really helps with the spirit of the get together.
Did you do things like, I was having the same thought, Deneen, you know, about the team that's like typically more behind the scenes. Like, they like to be behind the scenes. They don't necessarily like to be the star of the show, like the sales team, right? You know, like different personalities. Everyone has an important role to play. But how did you get them ready? You know, the team that likes to be behind the scenes and might not want to be asked all these questions or to get up and have to give a presentation. What did you do to make them comfortable with this idea? Or maybe you just let them sit in their uncomfortability. Like, that's okay too, you know, but curious if there were things that you did to help the team show up, you know, in a different way than their day-to-day job would call for.
Yeah, that's interesting. We did have some individuals that have a ton of responsibility that just said, I do not want a microphone. Don't get me anywhere near that. And so what we did is we had someone else right from their department speak on their behalf. But they were there. They were standing right next to them and, you know, could sort of nod or reference certain things and add or subtract or whatever the case may be. So they felt like they got the recognition. Well, it wasn't about recognition, but they got the acknowledgement, rather, without having to, you know, be the one with the microphone. And that worked very well. We did a lot of practice sessions as well, so that nobody felt like they didn't know what was coming. They didn't know what not to expect. So we did, you know, actually the factory tours. We sort of, you know, actually walked them as if we had a group with us, and then listened to them several times. And so by the time the actual salespeople showed up, boy, they were ready to go.
Yeah, very, very similar from our end. I mean, you are right, Megan, a lot of different personalities, and some people aren't as comfortable speaking in front of a big group. So we obviously gauge that and do different things to make that easier for them, or have somebody present, but they were all still involved or in the room. Or even sometimes during breaks or the breakout sessions or during the plant tour, if somebody had a specific question and maybe that person's better to talk one-on-one with a distributor instead of trying to talk to the whole group, I would just kind of connect them for a few minutes to go over something that it was probably easier for that person on our team to handle that one-on-one interaction than trying to speak to the whole group and feel a little bit overwhelmed. So yeah, just kind of knowing your people a little bit and knowing your personalities and who's going to do well and who's going to need a little bit more coaching or a little bit of help in their presentations, I think is important.
I bet it really helped your employees feel valuable by including them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it was including in coaching them too. I think they really liked the fact that we didn't just say, you know, here's what you have to talk about and we'll see you in a few months. And then we made it collaborative and said, you know, we help, some of them we help with slides, some of them we help with their, you know, their presentation area. And they really felt like we were, you know, really wanted them to succeed, which we did, right? But it was, again, all hands on deck to make sure that they could present in the best light, which made them feel comfortable and confident as well.
All right. So we've got everyone comfortable, confident, enthusiastic, ready to go, awarded, right? Culture has been built. And then poof, it's over, right? Ooh. Everyone's on a plane back to, you know, wherever they live. Probably not a direct flight from either of your locations. And they, you need to keep the momentum going, right? So how are you guys keeping the, what's the follow-up to an event like this? How are you keeping the flame alive here as you get everyone back into their normal day-to-day routines?
Great question. It's the very important piece of it is the follow-up and what we do with it. And I even, it just made me think, I mean, if the evening events, I would talk to a distributor that's maybe a middle tier volume distributor that was there and is showing engagement. And this time I made it a point to say, hey, these are great conversations and let's not just talk about them. Let's follow through with this. In the next week or two, let's get on a Teams call and rehash what we're talking about here at a dinner and actually implement some of the things we're talking about to try to grow your distributorship. And that, I think, is important as for one thing, because sometimes in the past you have these energizing conversations and then months go by and nothing really has changed. And that's certainly not the point of this. So then from a broader standpoint, we sent out a ton of mass emails in the 3 to 4 weeks, like our distributor bulletins, we call them, just like highlighting the new product that we announced at the meeting or highlighting this or many of the topics that we hit on the meeting. Because again, not every distributor was able to make it either. So you need to make these announcements to your whole distributor network, not just at the meeting. So, and then I sent personalized emails to every distributor that came, recapping all the bulletins I sent, the highlights from the meeting, the important takeaways, to where it wasn't too long, but it was long enough to for them to summarize, and I asked them to forward it to all of their relevant team members so that it was kind of a summary of everything we talked about a few weeks after the meeting so that that momentum can kind of carry on and hopefully spread through the rest of their team. And some of the important products and things we're trying to push are in front of them still. And there's more to do in these coming weeks, as you said. I mean, it's even the months following that you really need to stay on top of it and not let the momentum slide.
Well, Jake, I'm over here taking notes. There were some great ideas you just put out there, so thank you. Similar in some ways, again, here, we sent out a survey shortly thereafter, you know, a few days after the meeting while everybody was still fresh, and got some really spectacular feedback. I was surprised at the level of detail. So obviously it was engaging, right, because they felt the need to, or the desire to tell us what they liked and didn't like and what some of their takeaways were. So over time, I'll be sending some of that feedback, you know, or takeaways back out to the distributor and direct team. So that's a nice touch point that, you know, harkens back to the meeting, a reminder of the meeting. We just sent out this morning the share file, all the pictures. We had a professional photographer there. And some of the photos are, you know, it's fun to see their, you know, their fellow salespeople in action on stage or whatever the case may be at a cocktail party or whatever they're up to. So we've already gotten some great feedback today that, you know, it's fun to see those pictures and boy, wasn't that a great time. And that goes out to also to the people that weren't there. So the people that, you know, weren't able to make it get that, you know, a little bit of FOMO, you know, so it's, which is always helpful.
Do you get a lot of questions from people that weren't there?
Yeah, actually some have asked questions about what's going on in this picture, you know, and sometimes I answer and sometimes I say, well, you got to next time, you please be there and you'll know. No, I got to say, actually, everybody that was there, there were only a few that would normally come that couldn't, and they all gave, you know, great reasons. So it wasn't like we were down, but still it's fun to bring, you know, some of the energy from the meeting in pictures, video, back to the people who were there and could remember how much fun it was and how informative it was, and also people that weren't. So there'll be a continuous stream of, like we call them, Cowball outreach emails, that sometimes there were some things that I sort of teased a little bit at the meeting and said, watch your email for more details about this or that. And so that allows for some good, relevant content right after the meeting as well.
When I used to do dealer meetings at T-Mobile, we would do like a blooper reel almost, kind of like the behind the scenes blooper reel. So we would usually send that out fairly quickly after the meeting, even before the photos and everything else got done, because that was usually something that we collected in-house on our own. And I found that a lot of the dealers and distributors liked the pre-planning bloopers of us getting ready. And we would show them how we were like practicing or how we were trying to set the stage and something would happen. And it just made for, you know, some fun conversation.
Well, I'll quickly say that I can tell Mike's is the same way, but the fun but informative is what I like to say about it. And I think you have to keep it a little bit light, and it needs to be professional, but the fun is part of it too. I mean, you're getting these people to come all this way and they want to remember it as, man, I really enjoy going to that. And then I leave with a lot of information and things I can take to my team and have positive impact. So trying to mix both in is, I think, important. And that's what seems like Mike's done well with theirs as well. And it's been successful for us for sure.
All right. So our final pillar, and you guys have really nailed this all the way through, is that it signals that you're betting on yourself, right? It's the investment in the venue, the production, the experience. And I want you guys to sort of grade yourselves now on how well you pulled that off. Your sales team going back, and even your internal team going back and being like, gosh, I really feel like this company is investing in themselves, investing in me, or there are some opportunities that you left on the table. You know, how did that land?
Yeah, I think I would say to give ourselves an A-. I'm really happy. I like to leave a little room for improvement. I think we did a lot of things really well with the investment piece. We talked about the investment piece a lot, showing everything we're doing and why we're making the investments to enrich our distributors is what we like to say. We're trying to set our distributors up for success. That's why we do what we do. I think they felt that when you're putting these on and you do these evening events and there's so many people, I think they feel the pride and the energy and the meaningfulness of the investment. Like, why would we do all this if we didn't believe in what we were doing, right? I think all of it speaks to the end goal, which is to grow with our distributors. And it shows that we've been listening. As Mike's talked about, there's these products. I mean, we can't be all things to all people. Engineers can only do so many things and bring out so many products. But to show all the things that we have completed and then show the things that we're working on and making true progress on, I think is another significant investment that gets overlooked. We think of investments as the facility and the product, but the investment in our people. I mean, we've grown tremendously in the amount of engineers we have and the amount of people we have working on projects that have been asked for years that we just haven't been able to get over the hump. To see some of those come to fruition, especially our longer term distributors, are like, wow, this is great to see. So I think we've capitalized well there. And there's always room for improvement. You wish you had one or two more things done, of course. But overall, I think we did a really good job this year of that.
And we didn't talk about this in the prep, but that is like the same thing with Calwall, right? You know, in terms of the investment in the people, like that was one of the biggest things that you heard on the roadshow was, you know, so you tell your story, but...
Well, Jake just did again. Thank you.
Yeah.
No. It was again. I'd also give us an A- because I came out of the meeting flying, but certainly, you know, there's always a couple little things as the organizer, especially that you notice the bloopers. You know, Deneen. You know, so I'd give us ourselves an A- in context for this meeting, and but I am going to brag a little bit and say that in context for meetings past, mission accomplished. I mean, really. I set out to make sure this meeting, as Jake said, it was fun, informative. You almost imagine like somebody, again, flying all the way across country, getting themselves to the hotel, you know, getting ready, whatever, all the things that go into it. It's got to be an event. It's got to be something special. It's got to be entertaining. It's got to be informative. It's got to be all the things that drive human emotion and make us feel like we're glad to be part of this organization. And a big part of that is, you know, a sense of humor and some, you know, being able to poke fun at yourself and which, you know, Megan knows I do quite often. So it really was a very fun event that I think people just really enjoyed. I know it sounds kind of corny, but I got a lot of spectacular feedback that, you know, this is a new direction for the company. This is exciting. We're glad we're on your journey. And what more could I ask for? That was the goal. And to really show how excited we are and have that broadcast into 2.5 days with mostly at a hotel. Most of it wasn't even at the main facility. We did factory tours, of course, but most of it was at a, you know, just a Hilton. So you got to bring the energy and the power to a hotel that would be better served if it was at the factory, but there's just not room. So anyway, just to summarize quickly, again, I was very, very proud of our whole team for bringing the energy, all of the effort it took to get to a place where we could really show off, you know, a new tenor, all the new products and all the new, you know, improvements to the factory. So it really was, obviously I'm very excited about it and wish it was still going on because I had a great time.
And I'll quickly say, Deneen, you mentioned FOMO earlier, but we have, you know, you want it to be something they look forward to too. And that's what you're saying, Mike. And I think I've had distributors that, you know, we plan the date far enough out. We try to be 6 months out when we announce the date so that people can come and plan to come and plan around it. But I've had distributors just had something they couldn't miss and they want to be there. And they're like, they literally have FOMO. They're like, how was it? Or what did I make? Recap me on it. And they miss the fun events too. So that makes you feel good about what you're doing, that they really want to be there. And you can tell from some of them that have come to them and have enjoyed them that they want to have the fun and they want to get the information out of it.
Well, guys, that was fabulous. Thank you both. The energy, the enthusiasm, you know, is palpable even as you're talking about it, and the thoughtfulness of what you guys put together. So I think that was an excellent recap of what it takes. And you're being honest. It's a significant undertaking. You got to plan months in advance. You got to make it worthwhile. You can ask your customers to go to hard, you know, do hard things, go far away places. They will show up, right? You know, like if you're putting on the quality of the information that they need to be successful in their jobs and showing all this culture and, you know, positive momentum in the business. So I think you guys really nailed it. So thank you for your participation in the intersection. That does conclude this episode. If you guys found value in the content, our listeners, if you found value in the content, please be sure to forward it to others in your organization that may benefit from it and subscribe so that you get alerted when our next episode drops. So that's it. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.